Blog Talk Radio.
I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destruction are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Through Christ Jesus, O Lord, amen. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries present, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, we would like to share with you our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts 10 verses 39 through 43 says, And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Tonight will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the King James Version. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, which in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication or lasciviousness which they have committed. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Else of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We would like to encourage you and remind you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. That's R-E-V Davis. Our lesson for tonight will be understanding the Book of Revelation's eternal life. There is a future that is ahead of all humanity that will offer eternal life or eternal damnation. The choice as to which one a person will experience is in the hands of each individual. The Holy Bible, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, Jesus answered the disciple Peter's question about who can be saved, thus having eternal life. It reads, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, on the Gospels, but ye shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Jesus Christ promised that for all who sacrifice earthly relationships and material things for him and the cause of the gospel message, that he came to pay the penalty for man's sin, and putting forth faith and trust in him, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, and repentance or being sorry and turning from our sins are afforded or given eternal life. What is eternal life? Many people have a misconception of what eternal life is. We will endeavor to understand what it is, who shall receive it, and what we will be doing in it. So, what is eternal life? To gain a full understanding, we must define the word eternal. The Greek word for eternal is aionios, pronounced aionios, meaning perpetual, continuing forever, also used of past time or past and future as well. Eternal, forever, or everlasting. The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines eternal as having infinite duration, everlasting, continued without intermission, perpetual, seemingly endless, existing at all times, timeless. In layman's terms, eternal life means to live forever or have life forever. Since eternal life can only be accomplished in an endless period of time, or in timeless, which is eternity, we must then ask the question, what is eternity? Eternity encompasses the totality of creation, both spiritual and natural, for it is not based on time or on the revolving or spinning of the earth, in which we calculate our days, or the rotation of the earth around the sun, in which we calculate years. The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines eternity as infinite time, the state after death, immortality, seemingly endless or immeasurable time. In trying to understand eternity, we must first realize that time is a period of measurement that is restricted to Earth and perhaps our solar system. Time is based on Earth, not space or eternity. Eternity will have reference points, such as events that have happened, but it will not be in time. Eternity is outside the tools of measurement, Earth, Sun, and Moon, that man uses to chronicle events and lifespan. Man was created to be an eternal being, But through the introduction of sin, any disobedience to God, he moved from eternal purpose and existence to time-based existence. Man was originally an eternal being who lived in time, yet his lifespan was not subject to time. God told Adam that the day that he disobeyed him by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. The book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The introduction of death would cause man to no longer be physically eternal, rather physically subject to time. When Adam ate of the tree, he died two ways. The first way that he died was because his spirit would be separated from God, who is life. This happened on the same day that he disobeyed God. The second way that he died, or was to die, was through his flesh not being able to exist beyond 1,000 years, which is one day with God. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day."
Be brave.
Psalms 90, verse 4, speaks of the same thing as we see in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, which speaks of the generations or lifespans. No one lived up to or past 1,000 years, keeping with the declaration that God gave Adam of dying on one day that he sinned. In God's account, that physical death would be in a 1,000-year period. As long as man in the natural body is in this fallen state, we will exist in and be subject to time. Death operates based on and in time. The Holy Bible, the book of Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, 27th verse, says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Appointments are made in some aspect of time and or place. Man's appointment with death is time-based, yet the judgment is in eternity based on what man did with time. And if we accepted God's love gifts for salvation, Jesus Christ. What caused man to cease being an eternal being physically? It was sin that caused man to die, or that introduced death to man and all that was under his dominion. When the first man, Adam, the father of all races and ethnic groups, committed sin, he not only affected himself, but sin was introduced to his gene pool, thus affecting all men. It was not Eve, the mother of all people, who passed sin to her offspring, rather Adam, for sin is passed from the father to the children and not the mother. This is what qualified Jesus Christ to die for mankind as a sinless man, although he was born of a woman who had sin. It was one sinless man, Adam, who sinned and brought death upon all mankind, and God required an equal or another sinless man to die for the sins of all mankind, giving those who received by faith this redemption to be restored back to right standing with God. There was no sinless man on the earth to qualify to die for man's sin, because all people were the offspring of Adam. It would require someone to be born of a woman whose father was not the seed of Adam, in which no person on earth could qualify. Jesus Christ was qualified to die for the sins of the world, because he had no sin, due to the fact that God was his father, calling him Jesus Christ at birth, not to inherit sin. Thus, no eternal damnation in hell and in the lake of fire. Being good does not qualify people to go to heaven and have eternal life. Those who we consider to be good people still sin, and it is sin that stops us from having eternal life. Just one sin is enough, and all people, no matter how good we may think that we are, I've inherited sin from Adam at birth. Some people have friends and family that they feel are good, yet they know that they sin and cannot believe that these so-called good people will go to hell. They feel that God judges things like man, weighing the good that people have done against the bad. And if they have done more good than bad, they go to heaven and have eternal life. This is wrong theology. First of all, the Holy Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Also Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It just takes one sin to qualify a person, any person, no matter what their religious beliefs, to have eternal punishment in hell and the lake of fire. This condemns all mankind, because we all inherited Adam's, the forefather of all mankind's sin. Sin and its punishment are not based on what you believe, rather on what happened, which was Adam's disobedience. There is no need to discuss eternal life without discussing what the alternative is, eternal damnation and punishment. Understanding the basics of man's existence. If we are to talk about eternal life, we must discuss the doorway whereby we enter therein. We must also understand the basic composition of man. Man is made up of three parts. Man is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. The body of man will die and decay, but man's soul and spirit are eternal. Yet just because man's soul and spirits are eternal does not mean that on this basis all people will have eternal life. Eternal life involves God, who is the giver of life, while eternal existence can include eternal damnation, which is eternal separation from God. So your spirit and soul are made to exist forever, but separation from God because of a rejection of His Son Jesus Christ and the living holy will one day cause spiritual death and punishment for many. Yet they will exist forever with the ability to experience through their soul the pain and punishment that they are subject to in eternity. Two deaths. Death was introduced because of Adam's sin. As I had explained earlier, that death was dual or in two parts. The first of which is a physical death or the cessation of the function of the body. The second death is spiritual, which is eternal separation from God, the giver of life. In the Holy Bible, the book of the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 6. The second death is referred to. It reads, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is nothing good without God, and eternal existence without him is most miserable, and with the addition of a burning fire and other punishments, it is something we should run from. Right now, every person on the planet has the opportunity to have a relationship with God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And because of the sacrifice of his life that he gave to restore man's ability to have relationship with God and to be rescued from the second death."
I'm not
spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our lesson for tonight, understanding the book of Revelation, and we are speaking about eternal life. How do we merit or get eternal life? The first thing that people of all races, creeds, ethnicities, and religions need to understand is that you cannot merit or earn eternal life. It is not granted to us for good works, giving of ourselves or resources, such as what philanthropists do. We are offered the gift of eternal life because of our acceptance of what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. No one, no religion, no people can gain eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Father and eternal life. In the Holy Bible, the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, many religions believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet and a teacher, which were some of the things that he was, yet they forget that a true prophet does not lie. And Jesus Christ declared that he was the only way to God, the Father, or heaven. So, if they are to believe that Jesus Christ was a great prophet and teacher, they must accept that he is the only way to heaven. Let us examine the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, which says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. People miss eternal life and gain eternal damnation due to a rejection of truth because they desire to do evil. Some people reject truth because they don't want to offend their family or religion that they have grown up in. Some reject truth for physical pleasures and desires, such as for fornication or adultery. Some reject truth for convenience, such as to lie to make something easy, or steal to get what they do not have the money to buy. Some people reject truth for emotional gratification, such as those who get involved in emotional relationship with people of the same sexual orientation, causing them to fall into lesbianism or homosexuality, as well as other emotional traps. All those who reject truth, Jesus Christ is the truth, will not inherit eternal life. Remember, you can acknowledge truth, Jesus Christ, as some religion and people do, yet not submit to and receive truth as your Lord and Savior. Many say they believe in Jesus Christ, yet they do not submit their lives to Him, because they yet want to do things that are outside of the will of God. We gain eternal life because we are saved or have salvation. But what is salvation? Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines salvation as a deliverance from the power and effects of sin. It is to rescue from destruction. The wages, results, or effects of sin is death. But eternal life is a gift from God. The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As with any gift, it can be accepted or rejected. So all of humanity has the privilege to accept or reject the gift of eternal life that God offers through Jesus Christ. All who accept will have eternal life. As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was Eternal Life, Part 1. We will continue on this lesson, but before we go, we pray that it was a blessing to you tonight, and we pray that you would reflect on everything that you heard tonight. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or if you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted him and turned away from him, we encourage you to join us on this road. God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own willful way. We still make this choice today. This results in separation from God. I encourage you tonight, to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. Romans 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10, verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 16, verse 24, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." Beloved, salvation is a gift that you can receive it right this very minute if you admit you are a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to save. I encourage you tonight as we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I know that Jesus Christ can save me, and he is the only one who can save me. I believe in my heart that you, Lord, raised him from the dead. Dear Lord, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. I am sorry for my sins. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And amen. Dearly beloved, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Receiving Jesus Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or new birth. This is the beginning of a wonderful new life in Jesus Christ. To help you grow spiritually, you must do the following. Read your Bible daily. Know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Jesus Christ is preached. As Christ's representative in the needy world, you must demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. I encourage you tonight to press in, and you could also write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York 11003. corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis. God bless you, and good night.